Thank you, ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Oh, the High and Mighty. I always forget it until after I say it.
It's fine.
The High and Mighty, Dalton Anthony.
Hello.
And the Five Star Man is back.
Was I not supposed to clap? Because I think I was the only one who clapped.
No, I clapped.
Okay, I just didn't hear. I didn't hear it, so maybe we were just perfectly on sync.
We were so in sync.
I was just so confused. I was so concerned because it does the countdown, and then I clap. I didn't hear anyone else, and I was like, "Oh no, did I mess that up?"
No, we did the same thing last week.
We were all super in sync.
Yeah, we did the same thing last week because Jesse was afraid that I messed it up, and I was like, "No, I actually did it on time correctly." Or not last week, the week before. Also, this is like the first time all three of us have done a show in a minute.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was so excited about having both of you on here.
I know. I think all of our works are going to be stable for at least two more weeks.
Oh, no, sir. I'm going from one crisis to another, so it's...
Yeah, this is just going to be a different crisis that won't keep him after hours as often.
That's fair.
Yeah, it'll.
But hey,
I'm still gonna be an emotional wreck. It's just gonna be but I can do it from the comfort of my own home.
Yeah. What the good news is the fans got us all three on probably the most important Nerd Up that's ever happened.
Sure, we got new consoles, baby.
All of them.
That last week / over the weekend, the new platforms hit.
Yeah, gosh darn right they did.
Next
gen.
So
before we get into that. Because this is a special episode, we're not going to have an actual comic book segment. I'm going to throw this out there. This show is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Make sure you hit those people up because they're awesome. You can actually buy a whole bunch of stuff from them online. They have a lot of their back stock up. Thousands of comic books available online. They're working on trades now, and they should have their entire inventory up possibly by the end of the year. Make sure you hit them up. They're awesome. They deserve your business. Everything's wonderfully priced. And they will take care of shipping your stuff as though they were lunar and not diamond.
That's true.
Yeah, and I actually got to talk to David last week when I went up there. And it was just like, oh, I miss them so much. I know they said that they just recently got all of their Rebirth inventory is up on their website now. So there's some really, really great stuff to come out of DC Rebirth from a couple years ago that if you missed out on, like, I highly recommend, especially if you're going to start at the beginning, The Flash was fantastic, as well as...
That Godspeed arc was great.
So good. And then also Detective Comics is probably one of my favorite comics to come out in a decade. Just, like, that whole run is incredible, so...
Yes, 'twas good. So yeah, make sure you hit those guys up, villainousgrounds.com. It's great, it's good stuff. And yeah, if you're local, or if you're driving through, hit up their actual store. They're still doing curbside service, but they can bring you out their delicious coffee.
And it's
so good.
So yeah, what you just said, it is so good. It's been forever since I've been there, just because my work, I just kind of want to get home whenever I'm done. But, oh man, I crave it on the weekends whenever I'm not going up to Perryville all the time. It's really bad. It's like Burritoville on Sundays. It's the only time I want it.
Yeah, I actually went up there to clear out some of my box. It's gotten a little ridiculous. Shelby and I ran up there Friday, I think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was Friday. Because
I was finally feeling a little less sick. No, so it would have been Saturday, because I was still sick on Friday.
Are you okay, buddy?
Oh, yeah. No, I had strep again.
God, I need you to stop getting strep during COVID time. Cause it's like
Jesse needs Jesse to stop getting strep. It's not just during COVID, just in general.
I know, but it feels like this is like the second time since we've had started this whole shenanigans that is COVID-19.
And it's true. It is the third time in the last 12 months.
Yeah. Because
I was talking to my doctor about it. If I get it one more time before January.
We put you down, right? That's what we're doing.
I need to get my tonsils taken out at that point.
Oh, no. I feel like that's worse than being put down.
As an adult, it could be putting me down. Apparently, the procedure is slightly more risky if you're an adult. And, of course, it'll financially bankrupt me because our insurance, okay, it wouldn't bankrupt me. But it's certainly going to deplete any amount of money that I have for the foreseeable future.
If you die from your tonsils, I will be incredibly sad. But that will be a joke I tell my friends. I had this really good friend, Jesse, and his tonsils killed him. They were so angry.
If you had seen my tonsils during any of this, like any of these instances of strep, they looked real angry.
They looked like little COVID balls.
So angry, so red, and like with the white spots and everything, and streaky and gross.
Gross. Ugh. It
was awful. Like swallowing was pain. Just spit. Swallowing saliva is pain.
I do like that. I told the fans this will be the best nerd up ever, or the most important nerd up ever, and this is what we're doing.
And we're talking about me swallowing spit. All right. So yeah, new consoles hit. We got the Xbox Series X came out on Tuesday. We got the PlayStation 5 came out on Friday, right?
Thursday.
Okay. Yeah. Came out on Thursday. And I know I got the Xbox Series X. Dalton got the PlayStation 5. Ace of Gray got both of them.
Because I was fortunate enough that I didn't have to use my stimulus check on, like, actual things. Yeah. And two, I'm very responsible with money. So that just turned into video games.
But that's fine. It's good for the network.
Yeah.
And is it bad that I had the realization today? Or no, last night when we were finalizing times. Because I realized, okay, so I was off last week. I work today. Do Nerd Up right after, and then I'm also recording, I don't know when it's going to go up, but I'm recording with Respawn and Fire again tonight to talk about the Xbox, because they're doing a couple episodes dedicated to each console. And I then realized, oh man, I'm not going to have like any time to actually play anything today. What have I done to myself?
That is a huge bummer.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, that sucks a little.
I'm going to be talking about the video games instead of playing them.
And that was I took a sort of vacation last week because we had Wednesday off. Ace and I work for the same organization, so we both had Wednesday off. And then I had planned on taking Thursday and Friday off anyway. Just happened to get strep on Tuesday, so
ooh, that's a big O.
Yeah, turned my vacation days into sick days. And yeah, so I got to play some. I didn't get. The only next-gen title I grabbed was Call of Duty, which I know some of you guys out there listening maybe remember me saying that there's no way in hell I'm getting any other Call of Duty game forever because of what they did with my account. There was an update on that. I got my account back. Apparently some jackwagon stole it and finished a couple of camos for me.
That was very sweet of them.
Yeah, and changed around all of my classes.
A little less sweet.
And it was definitely like the worst kind of like Call of Duty player because they were running around with the sawed-off 725 and the sniper, just the worst kind of MLG pro wannabe nonsense. Now, I'm sure their account got banned for some reason, so that's why they stole mine.
It wasn't me.
I hate people.
I'm sorry. I can't take credit for that one.
I hate people. So anyway, but Activision finally did get my account back, so I got everything back, and I was able to play quite a bit left with me and Kevin, and then we weren't planning on getting the new Black Ops, but Asa was in a group like, yeah, I'm getting it, and then Hunter and Shannon were like, yeah, we're getting it too, so I was like, hey, Kevin, what do you think? And so me and Kevin both decided to get it too.
Nice.
And that's all I've played on my next-gen system. But it is real pretty.
So pretty.
The Call of Duty is.
That one song is a banger.
Do what?
That one song is a banger. Shannon is obsessed with it.
He is so obsessed with that song in the lobby.
I'm going to buy the soundtrack. It's like, you know, we've listened to this one song.
Over and over again. The lobby track is real good. And some of the map loading songs are really, really good. But yeah, so I figured this week we could talk a little bit about the new systems, what we like, what we dislike, and, you know, just kind of have fun with it, talking about, you know, new platforms. We got the new generation.
Yeah, because we're not an old enough podcast to be like, yeah, we talked about the PS4 and the Xbox One when they launched.
Correct.
So this is a first for us. I mean, besides the Switch.
We did talk about the Switch when it released.
Yeah. I said besides the Switch. But, like, that's...
Yeah, we got there the same time.
Yeah, it's, like, that was, like, a 0.5 generation launch. But, in negative 0.5, because, like, it's not as powerful as the last two systems. Like, this is a true generation, like, a new one.
The Switch is more powerful than the Wii U.
Oh, I counted that as also a 0.5.
Oh, no, the Wii U was a 0.5 over the Wii. But the Switch is more powerful than that, at least, so...
Well, yeah.
And it's got its own niche. It's irrelevant. That's the Nintendo Switch. It's a phenomenal system. We're not gonna rag on it.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, it counts, but kind of. It goes back to the meat conversation in the pre-show.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing, before we talk about more of the platforms, what games did you guys get for your shiny new systems?
I'll go, because mine's substantially a shorter list. I got Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition.
Is the Spider-Man remastered all it's hyped up to be?
It's gorgeous. I have not played Spider-Man Morales a whole lot. I put maybe 40 minutes into it, because I started playing it, and I was like, you know what would be really fun and get some longevity out of this pack? If I just play through Spider-Man first.
Again,
a game I've beaten no less than 4 times, start to finish.
Good lord.
Oh, I love that game, Jesse. It was that in God of War that makes me be like, I liked my PS4 more the last console generation. I definitely played my Xbox more, but I loved my PS4 more. Or my Xbox One more, but I definitely loved my PS4 more.
Also, one game that it's not next gen, but at some point during this show, Ace and I are going to I meant to mention this beforehand. Ace and I, we're going to have to talk about Hades.
That's fine.
Because that's my current obsession.
Yeah. I played all of Spider-Man Remastered on the performance setting, I think. I did the 4K at 30 frames. Mm-hmm. I was not disappointed. It was
performance setting is usually the performance. That's usually the lower quality.
Yeah, there's performance mode and fidelity mode. Fidelity mode is the one that has 4K but the lower frame rate.
Okay,
performance
I did fidelity.
Is the one that has the up to 120.
Okay, I did fidelity. Because I don't need that game running at 60 frames a second, because I've played it a bunch of times. So I wanted to see it pretty. It was gorgeous. Was not disappointed. I opened up Morales just enough to mess around with the end of the Spider-Verse suit. And I've pretty much only done that. I honestly think I've barely touched that game. But I've played through all of Spider-Man Remastered. It's absolutely gorgeous. I think I'm going to put all of my Kingdom Hearts on it. Because there's just not a lot of new next-gen games I want to play just yet. Like, there's nothing that really got my attention besides Spider-Man.
I mean, you really didn't even have to say just yet. There's not a whole lot out there right now.
Oh, y'all are crazy. Yeah. Y'all are crazy. This is the best launch lineup that there's ever been.
I'm not saying it was a bad launch lineup. I'm just saying there's not a ton of games.
There's nothing that's really jumped out at me yet. So, like, Spider-Man got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm going to probably put Kingdom Hearts 3 on it and see if that fixes the load time issues. The load times is by far my favorite thing about the PS5. I don't get the cutscenes anymore in the Spider-Man whenever I fast travel. I barely used... Like, I had to try to get the fast travel trophy the first time I platinumed Spider-Man PS4. Well, I was like, oh, I never fast travel. I fast travel all the time now, because it's literally like a second and a half.
Very nice.
I don't want to get into the controller just yet, because I think that's my favorite part. I know me and Asa will probably talk about it later.
We'll talk more about that later. Right now, we're just talking about the games, dude.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no. I bought the Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, and I love it. New Spider-Man face is perfectly fine. the internet seems...
that's something that they did.
Yeah, the internet seems to hate it. I think it looks really good. After playing it for 20 hours, I'm cool with Spider-Man looking different.
I mean, it's not that it looks bad. It's just the reason that they changed it was kind of hilarious. And to me, my issue with it is this is supposed to be an older Peter. And the way that he looks now, he looks like he is Miles' age. And he's supposed to be like a decade older.
Yeah, that's a little like, I wouldn't put him that young. Like, I wouldn't say that they're both in high school. But if you told me, like, oh, this guy's 23, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that tracks. But, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. He looks substantially younger now.
But, yeah, I'm not, but I'm also not someone.
He's supposed to be almost
30. I'm not someone who's, like, up in arms about it at all. I just, like, that's my one, like, because it does look good. Like, it's nothing wrong with it. They clearly tried to make him, they went with someone who looked more like Tom Holland. But
yeah, I was.
Mean, it looks good. It's a gorgeous game.
I was scared, like, I was hoping for everything in me that there was going to be a picture of Peter Parker where they didn't put the new face model in. So I was looking at any picture that he might have been in, being like, please have old Peter face in there. I couldn't find it.
But I'm sure the internet will find it if it exists.
Oh, I know. I was just hoping to be one of the first. Because this is also the first time I bought a system on launch day. This was the first time I've ever done that.
Really?
Same.
Yeah.
Huh.
And Asa went all in, and he didn't even get them launch day. Love you. I love you. I need you to know that I love you.
No, if it wasn't for the fact that I got both of them the day after, at least, otherwise I would be legitimately mad at you. Like, if it was one of those things of, oh yeah, I had to go by Walmart to pick up my PS5 today, wouldn't have been a good joke.
Oh no, and I know it wouldn't have. That's the only reason I did it. I know better.
All right, Asa, the best launch lineup ever. What all did you pick up for your systems?
So I got Call of Duty for Xbox, and then I also got Assassin's Creed Valhalla for Xbox, because I fully intend, I think I'm just going to carry over, unless something drastically changed, like something drastic happens, I think I'm going to end up doing what I did for this previous generation, where my general playtime, like, and multi-platform releases, I will be playing on my Xbox, and then my PS5 is going to be for the PlayStation exclusives, unless there's like a crazy deal on the PlayStation store. So I did Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty Cold War on Xbox. And then for PlayStation, I got Miles Morales and the Spider-Man remaster, the ultimate edition of that. I got Demon's Souls was the other game that I bought for it. And then I did download God of War as part of the PS Plus collection. And also want to make sure to point out, because Dalton, I really need you to at least try it, especially when we're talking about the controller, but Astro's Playroom. I got the Platinum in that already. Because that's kind of like the tech demo to really show off what the DualSense can do.
Okay, cool. Hmm. I have it. Like, I need to play it. I just, I've been really like, I'm going to get off this and play Spider-Man tonight, because God, it's so much fun.
Take 10 minutes to do Astro's Playroom.
Okay. I'll hit it up.
Just, and because it's it made me realize that I have way more nostalgia for PlayStation than I thought I did. It is, like, this thing is a love letter to Sony. Like, it's beautiful.
Oh, okay, cool.
But also the control, like, some of the controller stuff is really gimmicky and I don't really dig it, but it is an adorable, easy little 3D platformer.
Hmm. Man, I have no nostalgia for PlayStation at all.
See, I didn't think I did, really, until, like, because they have all these little nods and Easter eggs and these little robot characters, like, playing out scenes from games, and just be like, aw, 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 that's adorable. I mean, and then they do some stuff with the, it's not like you can really get spoilery for Astro's Playroom, but, like, they kind of dedicate collectibles to various peripherals throughout PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PS3, PS4, and some of the screens when you unlock them, like, hearing the startup chime for the PS1, like, made me feel, like, it gave me a legitimate emotional reaction that I was not anticipating to feel.
Now, see, like, that's the kind of stuff that I feel when I hear, like, the, you know, the N64 or the GameCube.
Yeah.
Because for me, or more importantly, the Xbox, because for me, the PlayStation 1, I've talked about this before, like, I got a PS1 long after, like, the slim PS1s came out, like, the PS2s are going to come out the following year.
Mm-hmm.
I got that with Resident Evil Director's Cut and NFL Blitz and Bloody Roar were the only three games I had on my PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only three games I ever played on my PlayStation. Like, I didn't really do a whole lot with it. The PS2, I had an Xbox 360 before I had a PlayStation 2. And on that system, I played God of War 1 and part of God of War 2. And then my little brother got the system stolen before I could finish it. So I never even finished God of War 2. And those are the only games I played on the PS2 at all. The PS3, I bought as a Blu-ray player. That I played maybe one or two games on, like Little Big Planet. And then, yeah, I think I got the PlayStation 4. I got specifically to play Destiny because I had the Xbox One already. And I thought that's what we were all going to get it on. And then everybody got it on PlayStation. So I was like, well, I really desperately want to play Destiny. So here we go.
Yeah, so then I wouldn't recommend Astro's Playroom to you necessarily. if the total combined games you've played on PlayStation is like 12.
Yes.
but no, other than... Because, like, PlayStation was always my second system. Like, because I always did lean Nintendo first. But I always ended up with, like, a PS2 used or a PS1 used. I did the same thing. PS3 was my Blu-ray player until I got locked out of my Xbox 360 account. And then I switched over to actually playing games on the PS3. And then, like you, I got PS4 to play Destiny with, like, you and Krista and Steven and all them. It's a fun little game. And then I haven't started it yet, but I also downloaded Bugsnax because that's the free PS5, the PlayStation Plus game for the month.
I heard that's actually really fun.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. I'm excited to try it. There's just, like, it is an embarrassment of riches of things to play right now. Of just, like, and that's still, like, I'm the only reason I'm not picking up Sackboy's Big Adventure is because I've already dropped way too much money as it is, even on top of, like, what I was already gonna spend. And also, I'm convinced that within a year, it will be a PS Plus game.
That's a pretty reasonable guess.
I'm kind of holding out on that, but I really want to try it, because, again, it's just, I like 3D platformers. Those are fun. So,
yes. Yeah.
The ones that I actually played of that list are Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Demon's Souls.
There you go.
And Astrobot Playroom.
You know, for me, it's just been a whole lot of Call of Duty if I've played anything on my system. Because, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and then we ended up getting it with... Yeah, I think I mentioned it already. It was the big group of us grabbed it, and it's been a lot of... Like, I've missed having a squad to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that you guys are playing this game, because me and Kevin have a lot of fun playing it, but to be able to have, like, the full squad where we can communicate stuff, especially, like, I know you guys aren't as big of fans of Domination as me and Kevin are, but boy, having a team to coordinate with that is awesome.
No, and that was a lot better than having, like, three just random people that weren't playing the objective. Like, we could actually coordinate. Like, that made it way more enjoyable. And also, there wasn't a map like Shipment, where I am just doing nothing but die, respawn, die, respawn, die, respawn. Even that one match where we were doing very badly, because they were just outplaying us at every level, it still felt better.
Yeah, no, Shipment can get, like, real bad real fast. Because, I mean, even when I got to a point where I respected Shipment, I was still getting, like, I would die 6 times in a row to nonsense, then I would finally manage to live and move, and I would get a few kills and then die, and then it would be the same string again. Somehow, I would typically finish positive, but it really just came down to luck, like, managing to get up and running.
I will say I do feel a little bad because, like, I only played, I think I made it up to level, like, 7 or 8 before I jumped in with you guys, because I just played a handful of games and I was not doing well. So I was like, oh man, I am bad at this one. And then I ended up, like, it was probably helped that I was with a team that I could actually communicate with, but I did solid, like, the rest of the night. And I was just like, well, now I feel a little bad about, like, saying I was doing poorly and then, like, coming in and holding my own with, like, you and Kevin and Shannon. Hunter was having, like, I don't mean this disparagingly at all, just, like, he was having to adjust from going from, like, Battlefront, and I think he said it's been a while since he's really played a Call of Duty.
Yeah, he hasn't played an actual Call of Duty in a really, really long time, and even then, like, competitive shooters, like, I think Battlefront is what he said was the first one he's done in a while, and even that, like, him and Shannon didn't get super into.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is definitely a big new thing for Hunter, or at least a thing he hasn't done in a long time.
He's coming back.
And he's
to
doing.
It.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Like he's not actively harming the team. Like, and he's getting kills. He's doing call outs. He's doing just fine.
When he couldn't hear Kevin, just like,
do what?
When he couldn't hear.
Oh God, that
Kevin,
was funny.
He's above you. He's above you. Well, okay, nothing. All right.
And then when they would sit there just like talking at the same time, like having two just separate conversations, I'm like, what?
Do they
what
hate
is
each
happening?
Other?
Do they just hate each other? Like, what is
There's
happening
no
right
respect
now?
Here.
But yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Although I will say, as kind of a, before we get into like all the positives and stuff, that is a little bit of a knock that we can give right away, is that, and this isn't really, I don't think it's a Microsoft issue as much as an Activision issue, but trying to get in, we're having issues being able to play with Kevin because he's on the One X versus the Series X, and apparently that backwards compatibility matchmaking is...
Yeah, Activision is having a lot of problems, and it's on PlayStation and Xbox when I was reading that too. Stuff.
Yep. I saw that people who bought it on PlayStation were like a lot of people who bought the PS5 version of the game were playing the PS4 version, because I guess the Sony, the PlayStation store doesn't specify very well, like it's not clear which version of the game you're installing.
Oh no.
Which is real unfortunate. Like, that is one thing that Xbox has been really good at from the start, is it's, oh, you've got this version, well, it's automatically this one. Like, when I set up my Series X, I had all of my games on an external hard drive, I moved everything over, and when I went to open Assassin's Creed for the first time, it was like, hey, we notice you're playing an older version of the game, do you want to download the upgrade now? Yes, I do.
Yes, please and thank you. Yeah, no, it's...
There's some kinks.
There's definitely some kinks to it, but it's a new launch. It's gone, I would say that for a brand new launch, this has gone extremely smoothly so far outside of the limited availability. Because yeah, I know Sony has talked about, like, they're actually not going to be selling any consoles in store for, like, all of the Christmas season.
I didn't know it went that far. I knew they were doing it on launch. I knew on launch day they wouldn't have any in store.
They're not planning on stocking stores. You can buy them from store websites and have them shipped to you. But yeah, they're not planning on shipping any out to like actual stores.
Did Discord just
die? I think we just lost Dalton.
Yes, it did.
All right, so back to it.
Yep.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
You guys were talking about how you can't find them or they're not going to be at stores.
Oh, yeah, so apparently, like, I'm actually going to fact-check this real quick, because what I had heard is they're not going to be selling PlayStation 5s in stores until after holiday.
Which, like, just because I didn't hear that doesn't mean that it's not true. The only thing I distinctly remember is that Sony wasn't going to have them in stores for the day of the launch, which ended up kind of biting me in the butt, but because Walmart didn't ship mine the day it was going to come out, they told me it was going to be today. And then I got another email shortly after saying, oh, okay, we've got it shipped out and you'll get it by, it'll be like Friday by 6 p.m. And then I had it by noon, which was nice.
All right, I'm seeing there is a clarification because I guess a lot of people read the same article I did. It looks like it was just for launch.
Okay.
So yeah, they were not planning on selling stores in launch due to COVID-19. However, anybody that's pre-ordered one could go pick it up, but they weren't going to be able to... if you did not pre-order one, you were not able to get one on launch day for a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and I think the only difference between... And I think Xbox did something similar. I don't know if they... Well, no, because GameStop's... Some GameStop's had extra consoles you could go the day of, but they were Xbox... also mostly an online... Like, some stores had extra stock... Like, I know the Walmart here had no PlayStation 5s. Like, there were zero in the building on the day of launch. So even if you were able to score one that morning, whenever they went live again, you were still going to have to wait for it to ship. Yeah. Whereas Xbox, because I think this is what Shannon did, he placed his order online and did store pickup because they did have the extras. They didn't put them on the shelf, but they had them set aside specifically for... the people buying them that morning to do in-store pickup.
Right. Yeah, I think that, I mean, that sounds right for a lot of places. Basically, they didn't want people camping out for them, and like, which there still were people camping out for them.
Yeah, I think Shannon said, like, our GameStop had 8 people camped out overnight for 5
And apparently
consoles.
Those people were told, like, we're not going to be able to sell them to you. And they were like, you say that now.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just that they had the, there were more people than there were consoles waiting.
Yeah.
You know, my understanding was they were told that they weren't going to be able to sell them to them, unless they had it pre-ordered, or ordered online or something like that, but they, either didn't believe them or I don't know.
Hmm.
Some people are just silly. But anyway, overall, though, I think the launch went all right. Like, yeah, there was definitely a lot of problems with pre-ordering because people were, you know, everybody was wanting one, especially in this era of the scalping market, because even if, like, people were ordering, desperately ordering them, not just so that they could have one, but so that they could sell it online. Like, I've even seen local listings, somebody selling a PlayStation 5 with Call of Duty and something else for $1,000.
That's the going rate right now on secondhand. I'm on Mercari, which is a selling site. I sell a lot of action figures that way. And I am constantly seeing PS5s sell for $1,000.
That breaks my heart.
Importantly, posted for or selling for?
Selling, like sold.
Oh, God.
Because I saw it and I was like, man, I could have done without a system for a couple months.
And I was actually talking to Mandy about it today, because Xboxes are, you know, kind of similar. They're going for a whole lot of money online. And I'm like, I could have done that, but then I would have been the jerk that I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, though.
Oh, yeah. That's it silly. Was. I say thought about it. It was a fleeting thought. I was
I agree with you, because it's just like, yeah, I could have turned that for an immediate massive profit and then just get one later when they're actually in stock, because like stock shortage isn't going to be a permanent thing.
Yeah.
Like I think there's going to be more than enough for everybody that wants one this holiday season.
If not, whenever tax season comes, you'll have one.
Yeah, because I remember I worked at GameStop during the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launch. And yeah, at launch, they were super hard to get. And for a couple of weeks afterward, they were super hard to get. But you know what we had a ton of on Black Friday? Both systems.
Yeah, but also wasn't a pandemic limiting production. And like both companies have openly said that they've been having issues. Like the amount of systems that have sold is a fraction of what they were hoping would sell, that they would be able to ideally.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So you got to keep that in mind. Like I'm not nearly as optimistic that everyone who's looking for one of these systems will easily be able to find one for the holidays, because
easily is not the word I would use.
Sony and Microsoft have both said like, hey, we're doing what we can, but you need to be prepared that these might be difficult to find for the foreseeable future.
That's why I'm saying plus, tax like, time. I'm giving them a good 5-6 months.
I also feel like in was 2013 when those came out, or 2012, one of the two, that the scalping market wasn't anywhere near what it is now.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely not, because people have like bots and stuff set up all like it's
yeah
bad.
Like because I mean there's been a scalping market forever, but it has been like starting like 4 or 5 years ago is when it just got really bad. People buying, like, speculating that something could possibly be valuable. And suddenly, like, every single person's like, all right, well, we're buying them up. And then they artificially inflate the price on it.
Yeah. I mean, me and Asa are from the action figure communities, for the most part. And that's always, like, for me, scalping's always been a thing. But I have noticed it a lot more in other mediums besides just figures.
That's collectibles in general are like that, but like video games haven't been like that until, you know, like
fairly recently. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just I've always been used to it, but it's one of those things like, yeah, no, it's really weird that video games are doing it now.
Yeah, because video games, like retro stuff, is collectible, but in general, like it hasn't really been like a huge collectible thing outside of obviously collector's editions.
Yeah.
And some of those get kind of scalpy, but
and it's strictly because of the scarcity. Like there, like you said, you know, you worked the original launches of the last gen systems where it really wasn't a, you know, yeah, you may not get one day one, you may have to wait a week or so, but like there were warehouses full of them. That's just not the case this time. And plus, like with games, minus like you said, collector's editions, even if you don't get a physical copy, like there's going to be more, or you can even just get a digital version.
Yeah, because yeah, so like, I remember
there hasn't been a ton of reason to have a huge scalper's market for this stuff. Like, you know, look at the SNES minis and the NES minis that they did a limited run of initially, or the Animal Crossing Switches.
And the SNES mini really just bit a whole bunch of people that jumped in on it, like the NES Mini was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the SNES Mini ended up being, like, extremely widely available, and for the first couple of weeks, they were kind of, you know, like, hard to find, but afterward, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they had shipped so many of them. So you had, like, I remember seeing, like, several people on Sell at SEMO posting there's brand new SNES Minis below MSRP because they were just trying to recap some of the money.
Good. You love to see it. You love yeah, to
oh,
see
you
it.
Love to see it. Because I did see, like, I know there's one individual that I am acquainted with that he's been kind of in the scalping market for a long time. And when the PlayStation 4s came out and stuff, he bought two PS4s because his intention was just to resell one because he thought they were going to be kind of hard to find. Because he bought his, like, on launch day, and then whenever it looked like they were a little hard to find, he came in and bought another one a few days later. And he ended up selling that one at, like, $100 below MSRP because they were everywhere.
Ooh, you love to see it.
Oh, you really do, because I do not like this guy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'll tell you guys who it is after, because I think you guys know him.
Oh, yeah,
but
no, that's fine.
I'm definitely not going to say it on the show, though.
Oh, man, that's good stuff, though. Like, coming from the action figure world, I love when that happens to people.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
All right. So other than that, like, I really would like to, you know, at some point see you guys' consoles, because I want to see the PlayStation 5 in person and really get a feel for that controller. Because for the Xbox, like, there's not a whole lot to say about the controller. Like, it honestly does feel a lot nicer than the basic Xbox One controller.
Mm-hmm.
The D-pad feels a whole lot nicer. The triggers feel incredible. And the bumpers feel a little good. But other than that, like, it's effectively the same shape. It's got a lot of the same buttons, except for it's got the one extra, like, upload button or whatever it is.
The share button, yeah.
Yeah, the share button.
Is,
but other than that, it's...
Do you need earplugs for your D-pad? Because mine is like, let me go grab it real quick. And because this thing is, like, we make jokes about the PS4 Pro being a jet engine. This is the mechanical keyboard of controllers. Give me one.
I was about to say, yeah, you're a mechanical controller.
No, it's definitely, like, I've got mine right here. And I think I know what Asus want to do, but this is the sound of the D-pad for the Xbox
Series X controller. Oh, it's worse than ASMR.
Okay, but like,
I got you, Asa.
It's so loud.
Put some WD-40 on it.
Yeah, that's mine. It's definitely clicky, which honestly I kind of like because it really goes like it's a good feeling D-pad.
It feels good. It's just like I wish there was a like it legitimately is like a mechanical keyboard where it's just like it's satisfying, but at the same time like I'm glad I have all my consoles in a separate room from like where we sleep because I wouldn't be able to use it at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could see that because yeah, it is definitely clicky. Like it is super satisfying to use. I'm still just using my Elite controller because I paid way too much money on that thing to not use it.
My Elite controller is now my dedicated PC. It's what I use to play Hades with. Because it's the rubber padding is coming off on one of my handles.
Oh no!
But it feels...
Oh, you have one of the original Elite controllers, right?
No, this is the yes, because it's what came with the. Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's the special white one, but it's still the Series 1.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's my PC controller, so I've just been using the Series X controller, because, like you said, it has a better weight to it than the Xbox One controller.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very nice middle ground between the One controller and the Pro controller. Or the Elite controller.
Right. No, I would agree. It really does just feel super nice. I really like the Series X controller. I mean, that said, I thought that Microsoft had hit controller perfection with the Xbox 360 controller.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a little while to warm up to the Xbox One controller, and they had some like quirks they needed to work out. But once they ironed out like the bumpers for the Xbox One controller, that is controller perfection at this point. Is the most recent iterations of the Xbox One controller and the Series X just they kind of improved a couple of things on that, but they have hit controller perfection. So it didn't really need to be changed a whole lot. The PlayStation 4 controller was good. I will never be a fan of the two sticks at the bottom, but I understand that's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But outside of that, like, I never could get used to the triggers on the PlayStation 4 controller, because I thought they felt like just mushy garbage. I did like the R1 and R2 buttons. They felt really good. The D-pad was pretty meh. But Sony hasn't had a good D-pad since, like, even the PlayStation 1 D-pad was kind of okay.
Yeah, so you mean every D-pad they've ever made? Because it's basically the same thing.
it's been...
They just changed the texture of the button.
It wasn't until the PS4, because they really did just, like, ain't broke, don't fix it, was their approach to the controllers.
And I mean, even the PS3 to the PS4, it was still like, we added a touchpad in the middle.
In fairness, the PS3 to the PS4 was a huge change. They changed the handles, they made it way bigger. Like, it was significantly more comfortable, because I hated the PS3 controller.
It felt like a toy. It was not a good controller.
It was complete garbage.
I only had a PS3 for a couple of weeks, and it was like 8 months ago. So
the triggers were terrible. Like, it was super lightweight and didn't feel good. Like, it was super creaky. It was ugh.
Yeah,
I will say the DualSense, it feels good because it's kind of like it has a better weight to it than the DualShock 4.
Yeah,
or whatever the PS4 controller was. But having played Astro's Playroom, which is, you know, like I said, that the big showcase for the DualSense, I really could do without all the gimmicks. Like, I don't, it's not, that's not how it, Astro's Playroom was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it, and I really, especially if you like 3D platformers, I recommend it to everybody. Like, it's short, it's not a full, you know, game, it is very much a tech demo, but some of the, like, motion controls you have to do, and a lot of the, like, vibration stuff, it reminded me of when I was playing the Wii for the first time, and I was playing Wii Sports. And it's like, okay, it's cool that it can do this, but, like, this isn't how I want to play video games. Mm-hmm. I hope this isn't really the standard. So, and granted, like, Spider-Man, it's very unobtrusive. It has a nice vibration to it when you're swinging and things like that, and it's got sound effects coming out of the controller, but
which is something they did with PlayStation 4 as well.
Yeah, that's something I'm used to.
So, but, like, going all in, I don't think, I would be surprised if any, especially third-party games, went, like, all in on the gimmicks of the DualSense, Sony will be. Like, you'll have more first-party studios use it, I'm sure. But third party, like the Call of Duty developers said, like, every gun feels different as you're firing it. And it's just like, I don't really want that. Like, I don't want to struggle with the trigger in a shooting game.
That being said, I am a fan of the triggers being adaptive. Like, I thought that was going to be weird. It was a little awkward at first because I was like, why is this not moving? Because, like, I bought a controller 3 days before just to get a feel for it. And to have two controllers, just for one on standby. And I was like, yeah, the triggers don't feel anything special. But once you got it in game and you got the trigger to kind of not push against you, but have a little bit of resistance. No,
it will actively push against you in some instances. You really need to play Astros.
I haven't played Astros. I'm talking about Spider-Man. Like, I played and beat that game. I didn't have a single moment where I was like, oh, the trigger's not working with me at all. Like, the trigger moved with me the whole time. It had a little resistance, and it felt good because it was like, oh no, I'm definitely hitting this button. But
I don't know if I like the sound of that at all.
It's hard to describe. Like, you really do need to just, like, you and like Dalton said, like, he bought one to get a feel for it. Until you're actually playing a game with it, you're not gonna understand. Like, you really do need to play something. Like,
I kind of get what you're talking about. It's a little bit of haptic feedback.
Yeah, and it has that, but there are varying degrees of it. Like, Astro's Playroom, it almost feels like you have to push it down, and then you have to push it again. Like, it feels like it's a two-tier, because the feedback is so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's one of those things, like, it's mostly, like, even outside of, like, the gimmick, which is whatever. I don't really care much about the gimmick one way or the other, but, like, for most games, just as a general, like, for a controller, that's another thing that can go wrong.
Yeah, that was okay, the more moving parts, the more moving parts that can fail.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that, especially, like, that sounds like a moving part that if, like, you know, it's trying to push against you, and, like, you know, a guy like me, like, I'm in, you know, intense in the moment of playing a video game, and I crush that fucking trigger. Oops.
It wasn't me this time!
Anyway, I mash the crap out of that trigger, and then I just break whatever little motor is trying to stop me from mashing the trigger.
It's gears.
Well, you're not gonna be. It's never designed to completely stop the trigger. It just will give you resistance on it.
Right, but anything that gives resistance can break.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Especially like when you're talking about a system like one of the biggest flaws of the PlayStation 4 was that everybody was breaking their triggers.
Really?
And that was on a controller. Yeah, did you not hear about this?
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I buy controllers a whole lot. I don't know why. I don't break them. I just get bored with them and I buy new ones. And
because they come out with shiny, neat ones.
Yeah, like I had a purple one and I'm so bummed out that Allie has it now because I sold my system to her and I'm just like, that was a gorgeous controller that I could never use now. But I'm not joking, Jesse, and you can probably vouch for me. I've had no less than maybe 8 PS4 controllers and I never broke any of them.
Yeah, it was a lot of people playing Call of Duty and Madden and stuff like that. They were breaking the, and it was something that Sony admitted, and they even in I think they got to the third generation was when they really fixed the trigger. It was just the joint where it was breaking.
Yeah, I never had that issue.
Yeah, like they reinforced the crap out of it, and by the third generation, it was good. Yeah. But me and Billy both replaced so many triggers for the first couple of generations of the PlayStation 4.
Because, like, I also had a first generation PlayStation 4, so I had controllers through every generation of that system. Because I also had every generation of the PlayStation 4. I'm broken, guys. I really am. I had every version of the PlayStation 4. Yeah, I did. I had every single one.
Oh, I just had the regular PS4 and then the Pro.
I had a Slim for a while. Don't know why I had that.
Yeah. I've got the thing right here. Yeah, it was the hinge that just kept breaking.
Yeah, I never did that. I'm taking your word for it. I had so many controllers and never had that problem.
Well, now you don't have to take my word for it. There's your Reddit post.
Thank you, dog.
No problem. Yeah, it was the... A lot of people were just snapping the bar in the R2 controller. And like I said, they... And it was a real bummer for a guy like me because I was actually making a little bit of money on the side modding these controllers. Like I would buy like third party triggers and stuff and sticks, and I would customize them for people like with extra buttons and everything.
Oh yeah, I remember when you did. That's whenever I met you.
Yeah, and you know whenever they kept changing how these buttons and stuff worked, it got harder and harder for it because I had to keep buying new and different parts. So that I would have different ones for different people when they came in with their different generation controllers. It got to a point where all I would do is sticks. Like, I'm sorry, I can't do buttons anymore. They keep changing them.
Yeah.
Because the sticks, that was another thing. Like, the one thing I hated about the PS4 controller, or I guess another thing I hated about the PS4 controller, whatever rubber they used for the just their sticks, it was terrible. Like, it would just... I think Steven was my most frequent customer. He wore out so... Like, every new controller he bought for his PlayStation 4, he wore out the sticks within a month.
Yeah, I never had that issue. Again, me and Steve are two different gamers, though, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, because we played a lot of Destiny, so, you know, it was a lot of first-person shooter action. And, yeah, no, like, he just wore the rubber out really quick, and it wasn't just him. Like, a lot of people did. So I would replace them with the Chinese knockoff sticks that I would buy from eBay in bulk. Those suckers lasted longer than Sony's official sticks.
Well, they can't all be.
And they felt just as good. And then I would replace them with Xbox One sticks, and they felt even better.
Yeah, I remember that, because I almost had you do that on one of mine. But then I was like, no, I like having all my stuff original. And I apparently just am good at not breaking shit, knock on wood.
You just don't play as much, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say,
level, dog.
I will. No, I'm good. I will say, the 3D Pulse headset, PS4 like or the PS5 headset is pretty legit. I like it a lot. I'm currently using it.
Does yours cut out at all?
No.
Hmm.
I've done it on Bluetooth and I've done it with the wire and I haven't had a single issue. Did you
had that problem with the PS4 Gold headset, right, Asa?
Not as much. Like, this, mine, and it's only done it like one or two times, and it's always been like right together in one instance, but it would just kind of like the audio would just drop out and like there would be kind of a crackle, and then it would just come back and it would be clear, and then I wouldn't have any problems with it. I also was playing Spider-Man the other day, and I don't know if it's like my phone interfering with it or what, but at a certain point it felt like I was playing on Stadia on Wi-Fi because there was just a huge like input lag, and it was just became super unresponsive. I restarted the console and it was mostly fine. It did it maybe one or two other times, but it was only doing it in Spider-Man, which granted that's all I played yesterday because I told myself, okay, I'm just going to do this like one or two cleanup things, but I'm not going to progress the story, and then I'm going to play Demon's Souls. And then I just kept progressing the story. And then we started playing Call of Duty. But I haven't noticed it in, it didn't happen in Astro, and it hasn't happened so far in Demon's Souls. So I'm wondering if it's maybe like a Spider-Man issue or if it's a controller issue, which would be a real bummer, but I have not had an entirely smooth experience with the accessories, but nothing like to the point that it's broken or that I'm, you know, contacting Sony about.
Right. All right. So I guess the last thing we'll talk about is the consoles themselves. So I know from my perspective, the Series X, it's actually smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Must be nice. But at the same time,
it is still too large to fit in my entertainment center in my office. Like, it's just a hair too wide to fit in the horizontal cubby in this entertainment center that I got from Walmart that was dirt cheap. And it's a hair too tall to fit in the square cubby. So I'm a little bummed about that. Right now, it's just on the it's sitting on the ground next to my entertainment center. And it's a real pretty looking system. Like, I thought I was gonna dislike how it looked a lot in person, but I actually dig it. Then Shelby pointed out upside down that it actually looks a little bit like a whale, and now I can't unsee that.
Well, better than Cloyster.
You watch your mouth.
Asa loves Cloyster. So, yeah, there's not much else I can say on the Xbox. Like, it's a little big, but it's not, like I said, near as big as I was thinking it was going to be. It's not, like, unwieldy large.
I very much should have measured, because I'm not using an entertainment center. I'm using, like, a bookshelf that's, we're using it as an entertainment center. But I had to, I cleared off space, because what I thought I could do is I could do the PS5 vertical on my bottom shelf and then do the Xbox horizontal on one of the top shelves. So I got things reorganized, I got them dusted and cleaned off and everything ready to go. And then I got the Series X, and it wouldn't fit horizontal to where I was comfortable because there was just so little space and I didn't want it to overheat. So, okay, I'll throw it vertical. It was too tall. So I had to remove I had to remove basically the middle shelf to make room for it, because the PS5 towers over the Xbox.
Yeah, I was about to say, because if you couldn't fit the Series X, because I am curious. Like, I've seen, you know, videos and stuff like that. I've seen images and everything else. So exactly how large is this behemoth?
Huge.
It is comedically oversized.
Yeah. It's the only thing.
Like, are we
I have
talking
under...
like original Xbox Duke controller oversized?
Yeah. No, like, it is no reason it should be this large, but it is. It's the only thing I have. I have a cheap TV stand that I bought whenever I was in college because I needed something to put my TV on because I didn't want my roommates to think less of me. Like, I would have put it on the floor if I could have gotten away with it. But so it was like, it's basically a table for the TV and then a little table underneath. And I was able to fit my PS4 Pro and my Xbox One X on it whenever I was doing that for quarantine. So I sold both of those. I had my Switch down there. I just moved my Switch up to where the TV is. I put it behind the TV. And the only thing underneath it is my PS4 Pro, or my PS5. And it takes up most of the room.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it's insanely big. I have it sitting horizontally because I can't sit it vertically. I don't like the horizontal stand. It doesn't hold in as well as I'd like for it to. Like, it's not loose, but, like, it doesn't...
It is super weird looking, though.
Yeah, like, it's not loose when it sits horizontal, but, like, you can't shift it at all. Like, there's no keeping it in place.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very, again, knock on wood, super happy that Kazoo and Maisie haven't tried to sit on it yet, because that's something they would do to my PS4. And I was like, oh, if they sit on the PS5, it could fall.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about my cats getting hurt, but I'm also worrying about my PS5 getting hurt.
I'm a dum-dum, so I sent Jesse a Snapchat of my setup when I realized, oh, I could just actually take the photo and put it in the Discord. So there it is.
Snapchat from Asa.
that is the bottom shelf of my entertainment system. So the PS5 is actually currently blocking the two pegs that the shelf used to rest on.
Yup.
Because it's too tall. That shelf ran pretty much right above where the Series X is.
Yeah, and I just love how, like, you mean you can see the PS4 Pro up there, which is a large system.
But even that, just... like, the great thing about the Pro and the Xbox One X that you can see in the background there, both are short enough that I could just leave them up there, and it didn't block any of the TV.
Yeah.
Because that kept it, because I was switching the consoles out for streaming, and I only had one HDMI hookup free, plus the Ethernet cable, like, that I would change depending on if I needed to download something or if I was playing online. So I just didn't even put them in the cubby because I didn't need to. Not an option this generation. Not even close.
Yeah, that's, it is comedically large, yes. That's a good way to phrase it. Good lord.
Chunky boy.
Because like I said, the Series X is big. Smaller than I thought it was going to be, again. And definitely too big for my little entertainment center. I'm probably going to end up swapping my entertainment center downstairs with the one up here, which is going to be a massive pain in the butt, and I don't want to do it. But it would make more sense. Because, yeah, I can't fit... my shiny console on this entertainment center. And I don't know where I'm going to put it.
Yeah, it's a bummer that one of the accessories some people are going to have to buy is an entertainment center to fit everything. All right, you got your extra controller, you got your headset, you got your entertainment center. Don't forget to grab the Xbox Game Pass.
And also, I know, like, somebody out there is going to be like, well, Jesse, why don't you just mount your TV to your wall, and then you have, you know, that the entire top of that shelf, and that's fine, and you got plenty of room. And to my answer to that is, I thought about it. I am not going to mount anything to a wall in this house.
Yeah, nope. I was going to say, you haven't seen Jesse's home.
Yeah, and it's important to say that it's not that I live in squalor necessarily. Everything is nice looking. It's pretty clean, but it is like an old house that has been patched together.
Oh yeah, no, I get that.
And I barely trust that, like, you know, I've got all these frames hanging on it, and even those I'm a little wary about.
Yeah.
Cause there's already, like, cracks in the wall, in uncomfortable places that are really long and large.
Yeah, you've told me things about that house that make me wonder, like, how did this pass an inspection?
I don't know that it has.
Yeah. That guy, that person knows a guy.
Yeah, almost guaranteed. Because this house is, it's definition sketch. I love the location, and I love the price, and it's got a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
you might have a lot more space when one of those walls comes down.
Yeah.
So much space.
So much extra space.
Well...
I will say one thing that I didn't really get to touch on, because my Xbox One or my Series X was also delayed, but I had Assassin's Creed already bought, I was able to play it on the One X, And if this is the trend going forward for games that are playable on the previous generation and the new generation, understand that that means that these were designed to be played on the new generation of consoles. Assassin's Creed runs so much better, so much smoother. Load times are next to nothing compared to what the limited amount of time I played on the Xbox One X.
That's actually one other thing I wanted to touch on, too, with the Series X. Probably my favorite upgrade for this. The moving around the user interface is so nice, fast, smooth, and snappy that I no longer hate the Xbox user interface.
Yeah, it's definitely by no means great, just as a UI in general, but it's so much better than, because it's so much more responsive. It just feels better.
Like, everything about it feels so much better now. Like, it's like I said, it's snappy, responsive. If I mess up and go to the wrong thing, it doesn't take me, like, you know, a minute and a half to get back to where I need to be. It's so much nicer.
And I will say, the PS5 UI is pretty easy as well. I'm not a huge fan of some of the changes they made, but I think that's just because I've been using the PS4 for so long.
Same.
That once I adapt, it'll be fine. Like, the power options, having to remember, oh no, I just have to push it once and go there instead of hold it down and things like that. Like little
that
things.
That has messed with me a whole lot.
But for the most part, it is responsive. It's quick. I have noticed for sure that having the store be a part of the UI itself instead of a separate app is great. Like, mm-hmm. that works so much better. Now, again, we're 5 days into a launch. How is the SSD gonna hold up? How is, you know, there's gonna be a lot of wear and tear and things like that to go. So we'll see how it goes. But first impressions, like, I'm happy with both of them. I don't regret blowing the money that I did. And like I said, I'm bummed that I don't get to play tonight much.
I mean, I'm super happy with my Xbox. It's a really just solid system. I enjoy it quite a bit. And it looks real good sitting there. Like I said, I just need to get... probably going to end up swapping entertainment centers out. And then I'll be completely happy. But yeah, it looks real nice. I like it a lot. Dalton?
I love my PS5. I can't wait for Spider-Man 2 to come out. I think this is going to be my Spider-Man machine. Give me Kingdom Hearts 4, I guess. Let's do this. God of War 2. I just want all the games. That's the only thing. There's nothing I really want to play right now besides Spider-Man. So I'm going to have to go back through my PS4 library, which is fine. I have a lot of games that I got on PS Plus that I never played that I
check
can
out.
Play.
You need to check out that PS Plus collection because, like, go back. Because I'm going to go back and at least restart God of War once I'm done with... Miles.
So
and depending on how I want to go with Demon Souls.
I've got one game for you.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, because I said me and Ace were going to talk about it. Hades.
Okay.
He would not like Hades.
He might. He liked God of War.
That's true.
I mean,
like God of War.
I don't think he would like the gameplay loop of Hades.
Maybe. Hades is like, because I normally don't like roguelikes. I kind of liked playing Spelunky, but even that got irritating after a little while. So, Dalton, do you know what a roguelike is?
No.
Did you play Rogue Legacy?
Nope.
Okay.
All right, so the gist of it is, you play through this randomized, dungeon level playthrough, whatever, like the series of levels that are all randomized. And then when you die, you start back from the beginning. That's a roguelike.
Okay.
You get as far as you can, and then if you die, you start back at the beginning, and then it changes everything up, it's random again, and you go back through it.
But when you play through, you are earning these, like, upgrades and currencies and things that carry, that some of them will carry over to when you restart, so that you can, like, level up attributes, or, you know, so you are making progression, so that this next time you have a little bit more health, or maybe you're a little bit stronger, you know, oh, you've got this ability, thing like that.
And importantly, that's kind of unique to Hades. Because typically with the roguelike games, as you go through, you'll get upgrades, and you can kind of build up stuff and, like, you know, run it through that way, and you get extra health or things of that nature, and you run through it, and you get as far as you can, and if you die, you start over from scratch with nothing. You might have unlocked like a character skin, or you know, depending on the game, maybe you can start at a different spot in the game as opposed to the very beginning. But then you miss out on like some vital upgrades and stuff like that. But for Hades, yeah, my favorite part about it is that, like Asa said, you get stuff that you can upgrade your character outside of the game. So every time you run back through the game, you get a little stronger. And ooh, it gets a little cool. easier. And maybe you get some different weapons to run through it with. And you get some different upgrades. And as you go through, you get these abilities from gods. And there's skill trees and stuff like that that you can kind of run through with a little bit of the randomization. And you can unlock really cool stuff to improve your build as you go. And it's and the more times you run through it, the more of the story you get. And that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah, the that's voice cool. acting in Hades has no reason to be as good as it is.
Oh, it's so good. And the story just in general is great. Like, I am thoroughly enjoying the story. And yeah, the more times you play through it, like, it rewards you for running through it, as opposed to a lot of roguelikes, people enjoy playing through those because they like the challenge of, like, you know, it's a different thing every time you go in. You try to get through as far as you can, and then you're just like, all right, well, I can do another run. I'll do one more run. But with Hades, it's like, you know, every time, like, it gets a little bit easier, and you get a little bit farther, and you learn a little bit more about the story, and you learn a little bit more about what's going on, and all this, like, stuff. And you learn a little bit more about these characters, and you might even meet new, you consistently meet new characters as you go. I mean, obviously, there's a limit to the number of new characters you meet. But yeah, you keep meeting new characters and it's interesting. And yeah, I've been like kind of obsessed with this game for a little while. I highly recommend it. It's really cheap and it's on every platform. Just grab it. It's good.
Okay, I might have to look it up.
Is it?
It's on PC, Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation.
Well, I missed the... It is not on PlayStation or Xbox. Yeah, it's what? Just it's PC and Switch.
I could have sworn it was on Xbox.
I don't think it is. Unless they added it like recently, because it came out of early access to PC, and then it had a Switch release.
Yeah, it definitely has a Switch release because I have it on Switch and PC.
Yeah, no, even the official website just has it listed at Steam, Epic Games Store, and Nintendo eShop.
Yeah, we'll consider opportunities to bring the game to additional platforms down the line. Thank you for your interest. Wow.
Yeah, but it because yeah, you could. I haven't played it on Switch, so I don't know how it runs. But it like runs great on PC. I got it for cheap on the Epic Game Store because like they just gave exactly you $10 if you downloaded Rocket League. Epic Game Store just gave you $10.
Yeah, that actually wasn't just Rocket League. That was for like a period of 2 months. If you got any game, including one of the free titles, which Rocket mm-hmm. League was one for a little while, if you grabbed a free title, you got a $10 coupon.
Yeah, so I used that and immediately put it towards Hades because I'd heard a lot of people talk about it even when it was in early access, and then when it came mm-hmm. out, it was people were loving it. So I gave it a shot. And yeah, it is a ton of fun, but it is that you got to be kind of patient with it because you do have to unlock new. You have to increase your health. You have to increase like unlock different weapons and. You do have to get good. Like that is like most roguelikes, there is an element of nope, you just have to get better at the game. I personally hate Theseus with all of my heart and soul. I hate that boss fight. It is BS and I'm just real bad at it. So I've gotten frustrated a couple times and just kind of walked away, but then I always end up going back to it. Except for this past week, which I had so many bright and shiny new toys to play with. So I haven't played it in a while, but even just like talking about it, I've kind of like, I wonder if I could get a run in between recording these shows.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like I'm sitting here now itching to play it, even though like Shannon and Hunter are talking about, hey, we're playing some Call of Duty because there's double XP. Like, mm-hmm. okay, well I guess Hades can wait. But man, that game is fun. All right, that's gonna do it for our show, though, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know on Reddit, r/Podzilla1985, or on Facebook, however you want to let us know. Did you get a new system? Do you like it? Or what system do you want to get? Did we sway your opinion at all? Because that'll be real interesting. So yeah, let us know. Also, hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/podzilla1985. We talked a lot about food recipes on this one. You guys should check that out. It's interesting. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.